This seance was recorded on the 4th of July, American Independence Day. Medium Leslie Flint.
Yes, I know, I am. But talk away to me.
Well, I've been having most interesting experiences, of course. I've been attending some of the lectures here by souls from other spheres, learning a great deal about many aspects of life. Although, quite frankly, at the moment, I don't feel disposed to make any change whatsoever. I'm so particularly happy in my own environment, but it's always interesting to listen to communications from other souls from higher spheres. And, quite frankly, it's so bewildering at times, because the whole kaleidoscope of life over here is so intense and so extraordinary, that really, you know, I don't know, time doesn't exist for us, of course, in the same sense as it does to you, but we do, in a sense, measure time, but not by the sun or the moon or the stars or anything like that, but it seems that one's whole life is so full of so many interesting events, and also meeting such interesting people, and I've been listening to some remarkable speakers, remarkable people from other spheres, telling us about various aspects of their lives. It's all very fascinating, but of course I realize that I myself am not ready to go there yet anyway. In any case, I've no desire to. I'm in a condition of life which to me is so normal and so natural and so happy and so tranquil and so peaceful, and I'm simulating so much in so many different ways, and also I'm expressing myself in an artistic sense too. I've taken up a great deal of I've taken a great deal of interest in my work in regard to painting.
Oh.
And, of course, I always had an aptitude for that.
Yes,
since I've been here, I've been able to develop it and go further into it. And really now, I think I'm really making some success. I mean, success here is not, as it is on Earth in a material sense. Success here is an aesthetic thing. It's something from within oneself, the realization that you're being creative. And also, of course, not only that, I've become very interested and immersed in music, and I've been to many great concerts by great musicians, and I've listened to new works, new symphonies, and some of the orchestrations are so extraordinary that, of course, our range is so tremendous over here, and also instruments are used which are, well, quite new, in as much as they're obviously instruments have been conceived and brought into being over here.
Oh.
We don't have the same limitations as you do.
Oh, what kind of instruments are they, the new ones? Have they got any limits of any kind?
Well, I suppose in a sense, of course, obviously, there is a limit. I assume that limit is really, to some extent, conditioned by the environment and the condition of life in which one exists, and by the knowledge and the experience of the people concerned in regard to those who create the instruments and those who play them and those who compose the music, of course. I suppose one might say, yes, there are limits, but they are only limits of the mind and the imagination and the creative ability on a certain range, if you like, of experience or a certain level of consciousness and aptitude. But of course I realize now that we are living in a limitless world, and if there is any limit at all, or so it may seem, it's due to oneself, inasmuch that you can only grasp so much. And if we conceive of the fact, which of course one gradually does realize, that this life is limitless, then of course each condition of life or environment in which you find yourself, you reach a certain point. In other words, you immerse yourself and you become simulated, or you assimilate all that that particular experience can give you, of course, and then the horizon becomes wider and larger, and then you gradually evolve into a new condition after having absorbed all that the previous one can give you. In other words, there's no limit. The only thing is that you, in a sense, may appear to be limited for a certain space of time, if you like, but then again, that may vary according to the individual. Some people can assimilate so much in a comparatively short time, whereas others would take much longer. But the condition of life in which I find myself is such a happy one, and such an environment of, well, complete and absolute utter joy to me, that I can't conceive, although I do realize there are limitless conditions far beyond my horizon. But the point is that I don't feel any need whatsoever to expand at the moment beyond, well, what I'm assimilating and experiencing now, because this is, to me, my life. But of course I do realize that this is only a facet, it's only a very small aspect of self, it's only a small aspect of one's evolution and one's existence. And this is the glorious, marvelous, extraordinary thing about the whole business over here, that you are so immersed and so happy in the condition in which you find yourself, meeting all manner and kind of people of like mind to yourself, with similar interests and similar desires, and also meeting many friends that one has known in the past, and making new friends, and gradually becoming so caught up with the way of life that it becomes such an extraordinarily happy thing in itself that you can't conceive in a way of anything beyond that. But all the time, while you're expanding your experience, you do realize there are often and must be many other vistas far removed which you will eventually reach when the time is ready, but you don't feel the need to rush or tear or to become over exuberant, I was going to say, which is not true of the word, because one does become extremely exuberant. I mean, after you've been to, for instance, a great recital here, or if you listen to some great work, of course you're caught up in it, and because you become exuberant and vociferous, you know, in your reaction to it. But these are measures of experience. You see, I think this is true to say that we are all living within a certain measure, if you like, of experience. And this suits one and is ideally suited to one for so much of a time as is essential and necessary. But I've met so many people here that also come from other spheres, I presume that's the only word I can use, or conditions of life, who have given me an eye-opener one way or another. And I'm expanding my experience and my knowledge in many directions. And of course I have been doing a certain amount of work with others, and we act as a band, I suppose you call it, or a group, if you like. We enter often into the earth vibration and condition, and we help less fortunate people, or people who are earthbound, or people who are coming over and needing guidance, needing help, and needing upliftment. And we get them, as it were, into a condition or an environment where we know they'll be happy, and also sort of tuned into the wavelength, if I can use that expression, of the consciousness of other people who are waiting, but ready to receive them. We have hostels here, or places where people are received, and where they're nurtured, or given their help, and given a realization of things which is necessary for their readjustment. Because some people take some little time to reawaken or readjust themselves. Indeed, there are some people who, for a period of time, I use this expression time, but have to sort of take it very quietly and very easily, because perhaps the circumstances of their passing were such that they need this time to recuperate or readjust themselves. You see, everything here is done in what you would call leisurely, and yet there again it depends on the individual, but I suppose in a sense it would be true to say that we live a leisurely sort of existence. That doesn't mean to say we're lethargic or we're backward, it's just that we assimilate so much. And sometimes we become what you would call, I suppose, exhausted. It's not an actual exhaustion, as you understand it physically, but you see, you assimilate so much and take in so much and experience so much, and then you have a period, I can only say it's a period of time, in a sense that you relax or rest, and you sort of, indeed, some people sleep, but not as you term sleep. You see, I have to use material words to explain something to you which is almost inexplainable, but it's very difficult, because if you want to, for instance, if you become terribly immersed in something and you get, as it were, so emotionally caught up, you have a kind of mental sort of exhaustion, I suppose, and then you feel the need to relax, and one can have a form of sleep where you lose, or so it seems, consciousness, and then you wake up refreshed. Although we don't have day or night, and we don't have what you term hours which are set aside for sleep or hours set aside for work, we do have something which in a kind of way is comparable to earthly existence, inasmuch that we do find that if we give out a great deal from within ourselves and we are caught up very much in something we tend to be interested or excited about, then we do push this to a point. But then again, we do have a reaction and feel the need for relaxation or rest, or need to sort of reboost ourselves, I suppose, in some way with new energy. You know, we have a form of life here which in some respects is so similar to yours, and we assimilate so much from the atmosphere, and this atmosphere in which we exist is so much more rarefied than Earth. We do breathe, and I suppose in a sense we do have lungs and internal organs the same as you do, although as one progresses, some aspects of the old material body fall away and you find that certain things no longer are necessary. But as far as I can tell you, we do have a rarefied atmosphere, as any way I can put it. And there is a sort of consciousness of breathing. But whether it's exactly and identically the same, which I doubt very much, as it would have been on Earth, I'm sure it can't be quite the same. But we do have air, at least what appears to be air. In other words, we breathe and we exhale. You know, I mean, this is something which I don't think anyone's ever talked about.
Mm. But that seems extraordinary to me. Because the want of breathing, why does that happen?
Well, I mean, I can only put it in this way, even though it may not sound very feasible or even
Is it because of another?
No, you see, I think the whole point is that we are living in an environment which, although far removed from Earth,
yes,
nevertheless is a very necessary and a very natural condition. And as far as I can tell you, I am conscious, for instance, of what you would call breathing,
mm,
although it may not be quite the same as it was on Earth, and as far as I know it may not be, but there is this feeling of tremendous sort of elation,
yes,
and a feeling of lightness, the feeling of substance around and about one. For instance, everything around and about me is very real, very solid, very concrete. I mean, a chair is a chair. It's very real, very solid. A room is a room, and it has walls, and it has what you would call fitments, and we do have carpet and things like that.
Yes.
You may think this is very odd, and there are some people who on Earth would never be able to accept this. But the point is that everything here is created. It's not necessarily only created just by the wishful thinking or thought forces. There are people here who delight in doing various jobs or doing various crafts.
Yes.
And you must remember that people couldn't be happy in any form of existence unless they were being creative in some way. If they had some kind of work to do, it would be necessary and essential to them.
Yes.
And therefore, someone who loves a garden will have a garden and will work in a garden and will take care of a garden, and the flowers will grow, etc. There may not be, and invariably, very few, for instance, on this side, experience many of the problems that one would experience under normal conditions on Earth. But I have not seen weeds in a garden, but this, I'm told, is partially due to the fact that over here people, thinking on a different level of consciousness, visualizing and thinking only of beauty, thinking only of creative things which are of value and of joy to others, in consequence, in a more progressed state of being, since you do not think on a lower vibration, or you do not think evil, or you do not think bad, or you do not concern yourself with things which are unnecessary, then these things gradually cease to exist, and you're living in a conscious world where, as you think, so you create. Although at the same time, it doesn't mean to say if you wish for something or think for something, it becomes necessarily automatic. You have to work towards a certain goal or towards a certain end. You have to create and you have to produce. And that is why here, this world is such a real world. It's not a wishy-washy world. It's not something that you just desire and think about and there it is. You have to work towards a goal. You have to set a goal. You have to experience many things. And some of the things, of course, in the early initial stages have to be eradicated from one's self. If you carry over strong views or strong ideas or strong whatever it may be which is detrimental to your progress, then you have to learn to cast them aside, cast them away from you, and you have to concentrate on the things that really are of importance. Open up your eyes, as it were, to the vistas that lie ahead, and assimilate the knowledge that is prepared or given to you, and the opportunity to take it in both hands and make good use of it. By meeting people as one does, all manner of people, then you take from them something that they have to give. They've been here much longer, more experienced, great teachers, great philosophers, great prophets too, in a sense. Although it seems odd when you talk about prophets and prophecy in our world in reference to things that are yet to come, because this does happen, because souls, as I've said before, are able to tell one about incarnations and the past, and also that which is yet to come, which is, as it were, hidden temporarily. But it's all being prepared, because as you're thinking and acting today in your world, so you are to some extent preparing for the world that is to come, creating the conditions under which you will find yourselves. And over here people are doing exactly the same on one sphere, creating a condition of life which for them is a happy one, and also at the same time opening up the way for a greater experience in another existence, even further away and more remote, as it must be temporarily. But it's all there. You see, I believe, I've learned that everything is there, waiting to be discovered. It's not necessarily something that has got to be created necessarily immediately or in the immediate future, as it were, but it's already there.
If it's there, I suppose the prophets, as you speak about on the other side, those sort of people will make you discover these things.
Yes, it's interesting, because actually, I mean, there are many things which puzzle one, I admit, but I'm beginning to see now that there is no beginning and no end, that life is continuous, and that all the varying degrees of experience, the different incarnations one may have had, the different lives, and all these things in the past, these things you've come through, but they're still there in the background, but that which is to be the future is already, as it were, in a sense, prepared. That doesn't mean to say that you can only evolve in a certain direction. You can evolve in many directions. In fact, you can take devious routes, if you like, to get to the same point. And these devious routes, if you like, or going through different environments or conditions or spheres, may be very necessary, and I'm sure they must be. Whereas some person will go in a more direct way, others will go in a different direction. But they're all arriving eventually to the same given point. But for some it is necessary to experience this or that, and others to experience something perhaps quite different. The whole variety, and it is a tremendous variety of experience that is to be had here, is beyond belief. I mean, in your world you can have many experiences, you can have many extraordinary instances of inspiration and evolution or development according to whatever has transpired or so on, but here this is much more so, much more varied. I mean, a person doesn't necessarily have to stay in a certain mould, for instance. A person can break out of that mould and he can reform and become something, in a sense, rather different or even very, very much so different. And yet he cannot escape himself. Many a person running away without realising it from their true selves. In fact, they don't really know their true selves. They're searching for their true selves. But what people don't realize is that we are a combination of many selves. I mean, for instance, my last incarnation on Earth, I was a certain something. And I gave the appearance and the way my life was, run, you know, and things that happened. I see now that it could have been avoided, of course. And yet at the same time, it was something which I have now no regrets about, because I feel that these things had to be. You see, really, out of it all, I came off much better than one would have thought. I think that I had to be submerged, in a sense. I had to be sort of cast down. I had to sort of learn certain things, which could only have been learnt in a certain way. I think that it's obvious that in everyone's life, sooner or later, they must go through many phases, many conditions, many disillusionments, many disappointments. They must reach a peak form of happiness, and they must also experience the deaths. All these things, of course, happen to many people, most people perhaps, really, more or less, if not in one incarnation in another. But I can see now that we are many people. Although we flatter ourselves that we are this or we are that or whatever, in one existence or one life, and we know ourselves as that person, and other people know us. This is only a facet of our real selves. Yeah. We are caught up in such a way with each other that we are all very much, in a sense, blended. Though sometimes we don't always appear to blend, we don't always appear to sort of fit in with this or that one person. But I can see now that group selves, peoples, are brought together through varying degree and kind of experience, in different eras, different decades, and what have you. And the whole thing is that life is a pattern. I see this pattern so clearly now, and I have no regrets, of course, now, in regard to my last incarnation or my last condition of life. I see that I couldn't have done much else, and that I also had to play a part which would in some measure affect other people, and that from what happened to me, a certain amount of good would evolve. And I think this is true. I think that that to some extent, although not everyone would agree with this, that in a sense my life wasn't a wasted one or in vain, because I think that from what happened to me, things have developed so that it could never happen again. And I don't think it could happen again to anyone as it happened to me. I think that I had to, as it were, become like a key that unlocked the door to some extent of experience, which would benefit other peoples who came later. Because no doubt about it, I can see now very clearly that what I did or what happened with me to some extent, that it had to be. I'm not suggesting I was a puppet, but I do think, and it's true to say, that sometimes people will come into your world who have a certain something that they have to do. They may not be aware of this. Indeed, they may not be conscious of it at all. But their lives, in some shape or form, are created or brought into being temporarily in a material sense, so that man will benefit. I don't think that my death and what happened to me really in any way was a wasted effort. I think that to some extent it has opened the door whereby other people will to some extent benefit. I don't think such a thing has happened to me would probably or could ever happen again in England. I think that I was made to some extent a scapegoat, it's true, but I think that it, the peculiar set of circumstances in which I became involved, which were not altogether of my making, indeed to some extent they were forced upon me, but at the same time it wasn't a wasted life, it wasn't a wasted effort. I didn't have any regrets. When I first came here I was full of regrets, and I sort of clung to the earth terribly closely, and indeed I was brought to your meetings, sittings, call them what you will, and helped me tremendously to see myself and to readjust myself. I'm so readjusted now that I can see everything in its true, in a true sense, in its true, very true value. I see now that my life had to be the way it was. It couldn't have been otherwise. I was not exactly, you might say, a pawn in a game, but at the same time I realize that to some extent some people's lives are deliberately brought into being in a material sense to fulfill a certain something which is essential to the edification or the well-being or the education, if you like, of others to come. I mean, I know that I did stupid things, but then I was a stupid in some ways person. I didn't always see the things that were right in front of my nose, but I can see now that in many ways I was working out something which was partly karmic and also something which would be a benefit at a later time, which it is now certainly becoming pretty obvious, I have thought, for the generation that came after, because what happened to me could almost certainly not happen again with any other person. I was caught up in something which was not just a personal thing, though it may have seemed it. It was something which was much bigger.
Oh, but what happens to the people who made all that happen to you?
Well, they were also, in a sense...
What?
I mean, this is the point. I mean, it's so easy to sit down and blame, or to or to say this is black and that's white. There's no such thing as black, and there's no such thing as white. In fact, every human being, really, is an intermingling of many shades, you know.
Yes.
And I think that one has to see this, and that sometimes people are caught in a circle, or they're caught in a sort of position where they can't very well escape, and they can only do what they can do, or what they're allowed to do, in the confines of that particular group, or particular space.
Yes.
You know? I mean, I don't, now, of course, I haven't any or any ill feeling towards anyone. I mean, whether it's the people who are intimately associated.